All right, I want to take you back to a study about evolution versus creation. Organic evolution, evolution of life, has never been observed. Last time we were talking about Mendel's laws that he showed mathematically that it was just a variation, but that the variations were limited mathematically, and so it does not allow for breaking out of one species into another. And so that was the theoretical, it was the mathematical foundation for it. However, broad experimental verification also exists. We were talking last time about breeders and so on that try to do this and do that and so on. Saw once where they were breeding a goat, white goats, and when the horns were narrower, the closer together, they would breed only those. So they were breeding them to where they were growing closer and closer until finally they got one that both horns were together and it actually had a unicorn. It wasn't a horse, but it was a goat, and had his little beard and had a unicorn horn. So, you know, you can experiment with that, but all within the variations of that species. People ask, do you have any example of evolution showing? And they'll always tell you there was this moth that under certain circumstances turned color. And the guy would say, yes, but that's a moth turning into a moth. Do you have any evolutionary proof where it turned into, you know, a bird or something? And no, we don't have. Speaking of this experimental verification, Lauren Isley in Darwin's Century explains the discovery of the Danish scientist W.L. Johansson that the more or less constant somatic is body cells, cells of the body, of constant somatic variations upon which Darwin and Wallace had placed their emphasis in species change cannot be selectively pushed beyond a certain point, such that variability does not contain the secret of indefinite departure. He says here, they saw that species change by constant somatic variations, by variations of the body cells. We know now that it has to be some sort of a change in the genetic cells, not the somatic cells. But Darwin and Wallace had placed their emphasis that this was how ultimately, finally, over millions and millions of years, that one species turned into another. And he says here, study it out, and it cannot be pushed beyond definite departure. You cannot leave one species for another in this. So, for example, if evolution happened, organisms such as bacteria, little tiny creatures, that quickly produce the most offspring should have the most variations and mutations. You think about it, and they're saying over the millions and millions of years, all these changes occurred just little bit by little bit. Well, what if you have in 1 year millions and millions of generations, you see? That's pretty much the same thing. You should be seeing evolution, if it were true, in bacteria. They should have by now be way ahead in the variations, in the mutations. We should see nearly infinite variation of bacteria. And we do not. Natural selection would then select the more favorable changes, allowing organisms with those traits to survive, reproduce, and pass on their beneficial genes. The evolutionary theory then predicts that such organisms, like bacteria, that should have evolved the most would have short reproduction cycles and many, many offspring. So if the life cycle is very short and they're marrying, getting married, and having babies and growing up and doing this again and that several times a day, we should be able to see this. But we see the opposite. In other words, this is what they say is the natural way. It's built into the universe. It's just pushing us for greater diversity, more mutations that can be found to be harmful or helpful. And then natural selection would mean that the stronger would survive and so on. But we see the opposite. In general, it's the more complex organisms, such as humans, have fewer offspring and longer reproduction cycles. So the ones that seem to be advanced are opposite what evolution would say should be the case. The bacteria that has all that opportunity have not developed. Peter R. Sheldon, in his article Complexity Still Running in Nature, complains that even the supposed long ages do not help. Awesome, he says, awesome morphological form complexity of organisms, such as vertebrates that have spines, have far fewer individuals on which selection can act, therefore remains somewhat puzzling, for me at least, despite the geological timescales available. So, he says, therefore, the humans that reproduce less than bacteria take longer time to reproduce than bacteria, yet they have the awesome form complexity. And he says, that doesn't add up if evolution were true. Again, variations within organisms appear to have definite limitation. Now, just that statement means that evolution is not being observed. It is not happening as we look, as we observe. Organisms that occupy the most diverse environments in the greatest numbers for the longest times, in other words, if a change of environment spurs evolution, then if we look to those organisms that are then in the most diverse environments and in the greatest numbers and for the longest times, they should also, according to macroevolution, this is changing from one species to another, have the greatest potential for evolving new features and species. Well, we actually have organisms like that occupy the most diverse environments. They are the greatest numbers and for the longest times, and they are microbes. But microbes falsify this prediction as well. Their numbers per species are astronomical, and they are dispersed throughout almost all the world's environments. Nevertheless, the number of microbial species is relatively few, less than the different kind of dogs. According to Bland L. How'd you like your name to be Bland? Hi, I'm Bland. Yeah, article, Global Dispersal of Free-Living Microbial Eukaryote Species. They sing karaoke, I guess, in science. He says, look at the species, and it's just relatively few. They are set in the condition that evolution says should multiply all their species, and it doesn't do it. So they're not looking for what's really happening.